Greetings from Tokyo. My name is Jeff.
And my name is Angela.
And you are listening to the Diplomat's Tokyo Bureau podcast. Okay, so Japan has been struggling with quite a lot of bad PR recently. Between Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's visit to the controversial Yasukuni War Shrine last month, and then the new chief of NHK's remarks about comfort women and territorial disputes, and now even the announcement that the education ministry is going to basically claim those disputed islands in the new Japanese textbooks, the country's now kind of on the defensive over a South Korean comic book that paints a really scathing portrayal of the World War II comfort women. So this comfort women issue, it's a big point of constant friction between Japan and Korea. And I think it got really bad last year when Toru Hashimoto, the mayor of Osaka, he said that the military brothels during the war were necessary. And then more recently, of course, you have the NHK chief saying that this kind of sexual slavery could be found in any country that was fighting a war. You know, some of these women, mostly but not limited to South Koreans, of course, there were women from China, the Philippines, and elsewhere, but some of them are still alive, and it must be really painful to see this issue still popping up, and you have these high-ranking Japanese officials that are admitting that it happened, but they're not really expressing any kind of remorse. Back to the comic book issue, before I get too deep into the overlying issue itself. So there's this comic book that's on display, and it's at an international comic book convention in France. And it is just horrifying. I can't verify that this is the exact version that they have on display in France, but I earlier today I did find an English translation of the comic, which is called Tattoo. It tells the story of a 12-year-old girl, and she gets kidnapped from her village. And it describes this, it's really graphic, but it's the style of the comic. It's
very simple.
Yeah, it's drawn rather all in black and white, kind of like silhouettes and shadows. Mm-hmm. So I guess I can't say that the pictures they're graphic, but it's more the actual description of what's happening that's really disturbing. Basically, this 12-year-old girl, she witnesses and is herself subjected to beatings, gang rape, and torture. Just it's beyond anything I'd be comfortable sharing on this podcast. So I can provide a link beneath this podcast, but the comic is under a Creative Commons license. Just be warned before you click and start reading, because it's really nasty.
Yeah, I read the comic today, and I could barely get through half of it. Because, just as Jeff mentioned, the drawings are not that detailed. It doesn't really directly show some of the beatings or the rapes or any of the activities that go on. But the words and the descriptions are really, really grotesque.
It's supposed to be based on a true story.
A true story, yes. Yeah. Even at the end, they show a picture of the old woman who was mentioned in the story, and they even showed her stomach, in which she had a very nasty scar that was a result of a forced abortion. Mm-hmm. And they also even showed the tattoos that
they gave her as punishment. It ended with that famous quote, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it's the one that goes, "Those who don't remember the past are bound to repeat it." The Japanese ambassador to France, he responded to the comic. And the comic's actually part of a larger exhibit, which is called The Flower That Doesn't Wilt. So the ambassador, he was quoted as saying that he deeply regrets that this exhibition is taking place, and that he thought it promoted, quote, "a mistaken point of view that further complicates relations between South Korea and Japan." Angela, I know that you previously wrote about the comfort women issue, so what's your whole take on this issue?
Well, I recently wrote an article about a delegation of Japanese politicians going to a park in Southern California, where there's actually a comfort woman statue, and they protested against it. They claimed it represented a one-sided, mistaken view of history, and they actually demanded that the statue be removed. One argument that I've seen many people who deny the existence of these comfort women or sort of justify it is that they say, well, you know, it happens in every war. Why should Japan be singled out? You know, it wrongly justifies the Japanese military's role in gathering up these women and forcing them into sexual slavery. And I think that the South Korean government sort of uses this issue as a tool to attack Japan. But I think that this issue should be looked at as a women's rights issue. And for Japan to actually deny the existence of these comfort women or even say that it was necessary is an insult to not only Chinese and Korean women, but also women around the world. Well, as important as this subject is, the conversation, I feel, is getting a bit heavy, so I think that we should move on to our next topic of discussion.
Okay.
So recently, I've been going into the convenience stores around Tokyo, and I've been seeing a lot of snacks on the shelves that are labeled as gourmet. And some of these flavors are actually pretty crazy. Last year, I saw foie gras and truffled-flavored potato chips, and on the bag of the potato chips, they had a piece of steak topped with foie gras and then a few flakes of truffle, and on top was drizzled red wine sauce. Recently, I tried truffle and butter potato chips, and those were interesting. The flavor wasn't that strong, so I don't think they used actual real truffles.
Have you had real truffles before?
I have, and I was a little bit disappointed by the potato chips because I thought that the flavor was too subtle. Because my impression of truffles is that it's a very deep and earthy flavor and very strong.
Well, truffles are notoriously expensive. How much were these chips?
Only about $2.50. They were very cheap, so I think any poor college student can enjoy them.
All right.
Also, one flavor that I want to try that's in convenience stores right now is tomato bacon and cheese. And it's not just normal tomato bacon and cheese, but it's actual, you know, high quality gourmet. From the potatoes used to make the chips to the bacon and tomatoes is produced in Hokkaido. And I feel like, oh, and in addition to this gourmet potato chip boom, there's also a boom for anything that's from Hokkaido. If you go to a snack store and you look at the products, you don't see just normal butter-flavored chips, but Hokkaido-produced butter-flavored chips or Hokkaido-produced cheese-flavored chips. So, Jeff, I know you've spent a few years in Hokkaido. Are produce there as good as these companies make them out to be?
Well, I think that, you know, Hokkaido has this image of being inaka, which is kind of the Japanese word of like middle of nowhere, you know, countryside. Mm-hmm. It's definitely an agricultural center for the country, and the vegetables up there and almost all of the food is just extremely fresh, straight from the farm to your table. So I'm not sure how fresh or how much the freshness translates to something like a potato chip. But what I do think might be at play with this whole Hokkaido boom is that it's so far away from what's happening in Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for people who are really conscious about where they source their vegetables and fruits, and, you know, ever since the tsunami and nuclear meltdown, people have started checking labels, and it just seems safe. Well, we hope you enjoyed our second Tokyo Bureau podcast. Be sure to check back next week for more Japan-related news and analysis from the Diplomat's Tokyo Bureau.
Thank you for listening, and have a great day or night wherever you are.